The Chan Handbook. 1. Why investigate Chan? When upside-down thoughts cease, confusion ends. We humans are born confused and die confused. We are confused while asleep and confused while awake. What value is there in that kind of life? So does that mean that we do not want to be human beings anymore? No. We have to understand where we came from when we were born and where we will go after death. Someone may say, I know how to find out about death. I can overdose on drugs or hang myself or jump into a river. Wouldn't I know then? Suicide will not free you from birth and death. It will only increase your karmic burden. We sit in meditation in order to find out a way to ensure that when it is time for us to die, we will not suffer physical sickness, we will not crave wealth, sex, fame, food, or sleep, and our minds will not be upside down. Death should be just as if we had entered into Chan Samadhi. We want to pass away with a smile, be without discomfort, and have Amitabha Buddha welcome us with a golden dais. We want to be able to predict our own passing and to know its coming in advance. We want to know which year, month, day, and even the precise time when we will pass away, once all our tasks have been completed. Cultivation is just for that purpose. If we do not know about that crucial moment, then we will remain confused throughout our entire life. Nor will that confusion end with death. In death, after death, we will still be confused. In life, after life, we will be unclear. How pitiful to be perpetually confused. The reason we practice sitting in meditation and want to learn Buddhism is because we do not want to be confused. Many people spend their time doing scientific research aimed at trying to determine the makeup and workings of the physical body so that they can reproduce it. Those who seek scientific solutions outside themselves are forsaking the roots and going after the branch tips. When we understand our original self, we will then gain great wisdom. Learning Buddhism will allow that great wisdom to unfold. Freedom over birth and death is freedom to come and go. Those who investigate Chan can become masters over their own birth and death. They can come and go freely, without any restraint. As it is said, my destiny is determined by me, not by heaven. Even old man Yama will no longer have control over us. Why not? We will have transcended the three realms. What does freedom to come and go involve? It refers to freedom to be born and to die. If we want to live, we can live. If we want to die, we can die. The choice will be ours, as we wish. Please take note, however, that this kind of death does not mean committing suicide. This freedom allows us to relate to our physical body as we would our house. If we want to go out and travel, we will be free to go wherever we want. If we wish, we can have 100 million transformation bodies to teach sentient beings throughout empty space and the Dharma realm. If we do not wish to travel, we can stay in the house, and no one will disturb us. We should know that everything in empty space and in the Dharma realm is included within the Dharma body. Nothing can go outside the Dharma body. All of you have gone to a lot of trouble to attend this Chan session and to work not just because you hope to gain freedom and security over birth and death. You want to control your own life. and to be your own master. Being able to do that is truly the state of freedom over birth and death. In investigating Chan, you need to reach the state of not knowing that there's sky above, earth below, and people in between. You need to become one with empty space. Then there is some hope for enlightenment. Right now, walking and sitting, sitting and walking provide the key that will open our wisdom. The great functioning of the entire substance is clearly understood. If we do not investigate Chan and do not practice sitting in meditation, we will continue to not know where we came from at birth and where we will go after death. Not knowing those things, we will again be born and die in confusion. To keep living lives in that manner is indeed pitiful. Those who work hard at Chan practice can awaken and recognize who they were before their parents gave birth to them. They will suddenly see everything very clearly. They will understand in fine detail the ins and outs of all matters. They will fathom the great functioning of the true mind. Those who realize such a state are destined to attain the fruition of Buddhahood. In the future, they will attain unsurpassed, right, and equal enlightenment. By investigating Chan and sitting in meditation, we can gain enlightenment. How do we get enlightened? Enlightenment is like unlocking a door that has been restricting our entry and exit. We need a key to unlock that door. Without a key, we will remain locked up in this room forever. So, where is the key? It is right there with you. It is very easy to find. How will you find it? You can do so by investigating Chan and sitting in meditation, or by chanting the Buddha's names, or holding mantras. Practicing in those ways is equivalent to searching for the key. When will you find it? That depends on your stage of cultivation. If you practice with vigor and fortitude, you will find it very quickly. But if you're lazy and lethargic, you will never find it, not just in this life, but even in future lives you will not find it. This is a very simple principle. We want to learn how not to be attached to self and others. All things come to life each time spring returns. Shatter empty space. Be free and at ease. Break attachments. Let self and others go. Expand to fill the Dharma realm, however vast that is. When we investigate Chan, we have the chance to be enlightened. The brightness of our own self-nature will shine forth, just as when spring returns to the great earth and everything comes to life again. Empty space is originally without shape. When even this shapeless void has been shattered, one becomes free. From then onwards, one no longer attaches to the mark of others or the mark of self. The Dharma realm may be large, but we can still encompass it. Having done that, will we not be great heroes? Meditation and samadhi are vital to our Dharma body. Sitting in meditation and cultivating samadhi is like feeding our Dharma body. The physical body needs to be fed and clothed, needs to sleep, and is always busy working to achieve these needs. One cannot go without food, clothes, and sleep, even for one day. Everyone is the same in this respect. We cannot do without any of these things. But our Dharma body also needs food clothes, and sleep. Sitting in meditation provides our Dharma body with natural food. By absorbing the true nutrients from empty space, our Dharma body will thrive. Entering samadhi gives our Dharma body essential rest. If we never enter samadhi, our Dharma body gets no rest. And finally, our Dharma body must be clothed in tolerance. Meditation and samadhi are vital to our Dharma body. When we meditate long enough, our Dharma body will taste the flavor of Dharma and can absorb the true goodness of empty space. The physical body needs these three items, and so does the Dharma body. When we cultivate, we should clothe our Dharma body in tolerance by being tolerant of others. We should enter the Thus Come One's abode by entering samadhi. And ultimately, we should ascend to the Thus Come One's seat. This is how we should nurture the Dharma body every day. Sitting long brings chan, which cleanses and purifies the mind. The aim of sitting in meditation is to open our wisdom. Enlightenment is the opening of our wisdom. With wisdom, we will no longer be confused the way we have been in the past. If we sit without moving and our mind does not wander, we can enter samadhi. When we have samadhi, our wisdom will naturally open up and all our problems will be solved effortlessly. The Buddha is not very different from an ordinary person. The difference is that he has great wisdom. Great wisdom also means spiritual penetrations, whereby the mind and spirit have no obstruction. Wisdom and spiritual penetrations are dual and yet not dual, but they are not the supernatural power of ghosts. Ghostly penetrations arise from using the perceptive mind's deduction. Ghosts may think that they are intelligent, but they are not. Real wisdom does not require thinking. When we gain real wisdom, our knowledge of things comes naturally, and we can exercise it freely. When we have wisdom, we fully understand all things. Without wisdom, all things become upside down. Things may be upside down, yet one who lacks wisdom is still unaware of that. If one knows one's mistakes, one may still be saved. However, if one was unaware of one's mistakes, what results will bring real suffering? If we want to leave suffering and gain happiness, we must have wisdom. With wisdom, we need not suffer anymore. If we understand this principle, we can avoid any more afflictions. Actually, this reasoning is very simple. However, chan sitting requires time. As it is said, practice sitting for a long time, chan will appear. Live in one place for a long time, affinities will develop. Investigating chan actually cleanses and purifies our mind. Stilling thoughts is a process of calming down our thoughts and getting rid of all the defilements. This is exactly what Venerable Master Shenshou meant when he said, time and again, brush it clean and let no dust alight. If we understand this principle, we should make determined effort in our practice of chan. Everyone must strive hard and be patient. Though our legs may get sore and our back may ache, we must endure that pain. Remember, if the plum tree did not endure cold that chills to the bone, how could the fragrance of its blossoms be so sweet? 2. What is chan? Concentrating on a focal point is the key to success in everything. The method of sitting in meditation is essential to learn in cultivation. What does the word chan mean? Chan is a Chinese abbreviation for the Sanskrit word dhyana. Dhyana means thought cultivation, the distilling our thoughts. Chan meditation is the method used to reach dhyana, a stilling of our thoughts. Why do we need to sit? It gives us an opportunity to quiet our scattered thoughts. Normally, when we sit, our minds wander. Where do our minds go? They indulge in false thinking, which sends us anywhere our thoughts take us. Without having to pay for traveling, we can take a rocket ship. False thoughts fly everywhere without restraint. Why is it that people do not have wisdom? It is because the mind wanders everywhere. Why do we age day by day? It is because the mind rushes to all sorts of places. Suppose someone drives a new car recklessly and aimlessly. Doing that will definitely consume and waste a lot of fuel. Eventually, the car and its parts will be damaged and mechanical difficulties will result. This analogy applies to the human body as well. If we do not know how to take good care of it, if we indulge it without restraint, it will definitely consume a lot of fuel. What fuel would that be? That fuel is our precious mental energy. No matter how many times we refuel, we keep using it up. Take, for example, people who consume tonics every day, thinking that they are replenishing their bodies with nutrients. If people do not treasure their mental energy and are self-indulgent, then no matter how many tonics they consume, they will never replenish the wasted energy. As the proverb says, concentrating on a focal point is the key to success in everything. We have to gather our thoughts and concentrate on a focal point. Then we will not deplete our mental energy. In other words, if we know how to drive well, we will not drive around recklessly and meet with an accident. Our car will also last longer. Similarly, if we know how to take care of ourselves, then it is possible to neither age nor die. Twirling a flower, the Buddha revealed the mind-to-mind seal. Shakyamuni Buddha initiated Chan investigation when he held aloft a flower in the Vulture Peak Assembly to indicate the transmission of the subtle and wonderful mind seal, Dharma Door. At that time, Patriarch Mahakashapa understood the intention of the Buddha and smiled broadly. From then on, the mind seal Dharma Door of the Buddhas and Patriarchs was transmitted. Actually, Patriarch Mahakashapa was already over 100 years old, and because he vigorously practiced asceticism, he normally would not have smiled. But on this occasion, his smile was an indication that he had just received the Buddha's mind-to-mind seal. Only quiet contemplation can give rise to chan. Chan means stilling thoughts. We will only realize chan if we still our thoughts. Samadhi means not moving. If we move, we have no samadhi. By taking Dharma bliss as food, chan samadhi will manifest. When we cultivate the way, we practice sitting in meditation. To develop chan, we need to sit down. As we sit in meditation, our skill will manifest. It should not be the case that as soon as you sit in meditation, you fall asleep. that is not chan sitting. That's just sleeping. Sleeping is not chan, nor is it samadhi. In chan, you do not sleep. The bliss of chan samadhi is different from sleeping. When you are sleeping, you have already lost your senses and spiritual awareness. Without any awareness, you sleep confusedly, not knowing anything at all. Entering samadhi requires one to sit in an upright posture. One sits with a straight back and holds the head straight without nodding or tilting the neck. What is meant by samadhi power? Samadhi has a certain power that supports and maintains your body in an upright position so that you don't lean forward or tilt back. Sitting upright effortlessly, you can enter chan samadhi. In the midst of samadhi, there is an unimaginable joy that is inexplicable and indescribable. Because it surpasses what your mind can imagine, it is described like this. The path of words and speech is cut off. The place of the mind's activity is gone. In chan samadhi, you will experience a bliss that is continuous and unceasing. Experiencing the bliss of chan samadhi inspires in us courage and vigor that surpasses the ordinary. That kind of courage and vigor is extremely strong and powerful. No other forces can overcome that type of power. Thought cultivation eliminates false thinking. Chan sitting is also known as thought cultivation. From this definition, we know that it is impossible not to have false thinking during chan sitting. Normally, our false thinking comes and goes like waves on water. Waves come up because of wind. When we meditate, why do false thoughts arise? It is because our self nature still contains falseness. This falseness is like the wind, and false thoughts are just like waves on water. As we practice meditation, we need to silence our thoughts. That means we must stop the false winds. Thought cultivation aims at reducing false thoughts and stopping the waves that constantly arise in our minds. Stilling means quieting the thoughts so they cease their movement. When we cease thinking and deliberating, we can give rise to samadhi power. Over time, as samadhi power develops, wisdom will manifest. With wisdom, our minds can illuminate the true nature of all dharmas. When not a single thought arises, the entire substance manifests. When the mind is completely stilled so that not a single shred of false thinking remains, we will be able to enter samadhi and our original wisdom will manifest. We will then truly understand the basic reason why we are human beings and will no longer be moved by external things. When the myriad external conditions do not move our mind, we can then be considered to be in unmoving suchness, where all is absolutely clear and constantly understood. At that time, the eight winds of praise and ridicule, sorrow and joy, gain and loss, defamation and eulogy, will not be able to move our minds. People may praise us or ridicule us as they wish. In favorable or adverse conditions, we will advance vigorously. No suffering or joy will move our minds. Gain refers to things that benefit one. Loss refers to things that harm one. Defamation means to slander. Eulogy is to commend or glorify one's name. Unmoved by the eight winds, I sit erect on a purple golden lotus. not being blown about by the eight winds is the result of thought cultivation or silencing the mind. By not being moved by external factors, we can then understand how to practice sitting meditation. Silencing the mind reveals our wisdom. Investigating Chan requires non-movement of the mind and thoughts, and this means silence. The Chan method works like the thrust of a knife, cutting right through. Because Chan investigation is apart from the mind consciousness, it is known as putting an end to the mind. Ending the mind means ending all mental activities of the mind consciousness. Only when all the activities of the false mind are stopped will thoughts be silenced. When that happens, we gain the power of knowing and seeing that comes with suddenly enlightening to the non-arising of all things. We then have patience with the non-arising of people and dharmas, and we certify to the four stages of practice, which are heat, summit, patience, and first in the world. 1. Heat. This warm energy comes as we sit in meditation. 2. Summit. That energy rises to the crown of our head as we continue to practice. 3. Patience. It becomes very difficult to be patient, but we must still be patient. 4. First in the world. We become a world-transcending great hero. If you want to attain these four stages, you must first learn to silence the mind. Our mind consciousness must remain unmoving. Our thoughts are like waves that cannot be calmed. Sitting in meditation aims at stopping the mind consciousness from moving. Eventually, it stops, naturally. Once stopped, the mind is silent. When it is completely silent, wisdom comes forth. When wisdom arises, we become self-illuminating. When silence reaches an ultimate point, the light penetrates everywhere. That is the power of knowing and seeing that comes with sudden enlightenment to the non-arising of all things. The flavor of lightness and ease is infinitely wonderful. What is the flavor of Chan? It is the joy of realizing Chan Samadhi and of obtaining a feeling of lightness and tranquility. This infinitely wonderful experience defies conceptualization and verbal description. Those who have personally experienced this state tacitly accept it. Just as when a person drinks water, he himself will know whether it is hot or cold, so too, lightness and ease is something we ourselves will know when it happens to us. If all of you want to know whether the flavor of Chan is sweet or bitter, you will have to work very hard at investigating Chan. When you have reached a certain state, you will naturally know the flavor. Therefore, you have to investigate. And when you have investigated until the truth emerges, then you will experience the flavor of Chan. Chan is not to be spoken of, but is to be investigated. This is why the Chan sect does not teach using words or literature. Its truth is transmitted outside the teaching. It is a method that points directly at the human mind so that one can see one's own nature and attain Buddhahood. When a person who investigates Chan has reached a high level of attainment, he will never get angry. He will not fight or contend with others because he has attained the samadhi of non-contention. He will not pursue fame or gain because he looks upon wealth as being dewdrops on flowers. He looks upon official status as being frost on a rooftop. Both vanish without a trace in no time. 3. There are 10 benefits of investigating Chan. 1. Adhering to practices that bring peaceful dwelling. When we sit in meditation and investigate Chan every day, we acquire a certain deportment. This deportment takes practice. When we investigate Chan year after year, month after month, day after day, hour after hour, and minute after minute, there are proper ways to practice. Running meditation is an example. When it is time to do running meditation in the Chan hall, someone shouts, "Run!" and everybody runs. We may run until we perspire and almost pass out. We may run until we are not aware of the heavens above, the earth below, and people in between. During running meditation, we can become unaware of ourself, and fundamentally, there is no longer any self. When our running meditation reaches the point that we have no notion of self and others, we will be contemplating at ease. In the absence of self, we will have no false thinking. In the absence of people, we will have no false thoughts of others. At that moment, we are contemplating at ease. Neither in emptiness nor in form does one seek the thus come one. The Buddha does not fall into the categories of emptiness or existence, which means he is neither empty nor does he have substance. Therefore, if we realize that the Dharma body of the thus come one is neither empty nor has substance, then we have seen the Dharma body of the thus come one. We arrive there by adhering to practices that bring peaceful dwelling. 2. Using kindness in what we do. This does not necessarily mean to treat others well. When it is necessary to use kindness, we should use kindness and compassion to teach and cross over the other person. We use the method of gathering in. If we encounter a sentient being who needs to be exhorted or admonished so that he can gain an awakening, we should be motivated by kindness and compassion as we exhort or admonish him. Or in the Chan hall, the incense board is often used to tap people into an awakening. In the Chan hall, there are often cases of people being hit. However, this kind of hitting is different from ordinary hitting, for the intention here is to enable that person to be awakened. This is for his own good, because we hope that he will observe the rules and get rid of his false thinking. That is how to use kindness in what we do. 3. The absence of the heat of regret. The heat of regret is an affliction. In regretting, the mind indulges in affliction, and that generates heat. Therefore, this third benefit means to be without afflictions. 4. Safeguarding the sense faculties. This means watching over the six sense faculties. Why do we need to safeguard the six sense faculties? If we do not, they will run away. The eyes will be drawn to forms, the ears will be enticed by sounds, the nose will react to smells, the tongue will get involved in tastes, and the body will be influenced by touch, and the mind will indulge in mental constructs. That is why we have to safeguard the six faculties until they emit light that shakes the earth. Why do they emit light? The light is emitted when we have no more false thoughts and our original wisdom manifests. When the light of wisdom shines throughout the trikilocosm, the six sense faculties emit light that shakes the earth. 5. Knowing the joy of non-eating. A person who investigates Chan will obtain the joy of Chan as food and be filled with the joy of Dharma. When that happens, then even though we do not eat anything, we will be joyful. Despite not consuming any food, we would be happy so long as we can investigate Chan. Has this happened to any of you? 6. Being apart from emotional love and desire. When our minds do not entertain thoughts of emotional love and desire, then our minds are clear and pure. Emotional love and desire are defilements, and defilements result in birth and death. Why do ordinary human beings like us experience birth and death? It is because we have not cut off emotional love and desire. Why do ordinary people keep revolving continuously in the six paths of rebirth without ever ending birth and death? It is because they entertain thoughts of emotional love and desire and can never stop doing so. If you cannot cut off love and desire, you cannot end birth and death. As long as we have not ended birth and death, we will revolve continuously in the six paths. People who investigate Chan can be apart from thoughts of emotional love and desire, and then the doors of hell will remain closed, and they will not go there. Cultivating will not be done in vain. What does that mean? It means we only need fear that we fail to cultivate. If we do cultivate, we will not pass the time in vain. When we sit in meditation for an hour, our wisdom life will lengthen by an hour. When we meditate for 2 hours, our wisdom life will extend by 2 hours. If we investigate Chan every moment, every hour, every day, every month, and every year, our inherent wisdom will certainly become evident. Hence, Chan cultivation will never be done in vain. For as long as we cultivate, we will not pass the time in vain. 8. Remaining free of demonic karma. Cultivators can keep clear of the karmic power of demons. When we are free from karmic obstructions of demons, no demon can obstruct us in any way. 9. Dwelling peacefully in the Buddha's realm. If we can investigate constantly, we will gain this 9th benefit of dwelling peacefully in the Buddha's realm. 10. Gaining complete liberation. This is the benefit that everyone hopes for. Complete liberation means to be without obstructions. Having no obstructions, we realize the clear and pure Dharma body. Those are the 10 benefits of investigating Chan. 4. How to investigate Chan. A. Sitting meditation. The Vajra posture quells demons. When sitting in Chan, make sure your posture is correct. A correct posture benefits both body and mind. Without it, sitting in Chan loses its meaning. When we sit in meditation, we need to first relax the body and mind. Don't tense up. It would be ideal to sit in full lotus, which is the basic posture. To sit in full lotus, put the left foot over the right thigh, and then move the right foot over the left leg. This is also called the Vajra position, which means it is firm and unmoving. All the Buddhas of the past attained Buddhahood by sitting in the Vajra position. In this sitting posture, we can subdue demons from the heavens and counter those of externalist ways. When they see us in this posture, they surrender and retreat, not daring to come forward and create trouble. Once we are sitting in the full lotus posture, our eyes should contemplate the tip of our nose and not look left and right. The eyes contemplate the nose. The nose contemplates the mouth. The mouth contemplates the heart. This way, we can gather in our body and mind. The mind is like a monkey or a wild horse, and you must tie it up so it won't run away. It is said, concentration brings results that are efficacious. Being scattered results in nothing at all. We need to sit properly, keeping our back straight and our head up. Don't lean forward, backward, or to the left or right. Sit firmly, being as stable as a large bell, the kind that does not sway or move. Don't be like a small bell's clapper that swings back and forth. Full lotus is the proper posture for sitting in Chan. Beginners in Chan meditation who are not used to it may experience pain in their legs and may get a backache. Don't worry. Just grit your teeth and be patient for a while, and those sensations will naturally subside. The saying goes, with long sitting, there's Chan. So, keep at it, and you will naturally attain the flavor of Chan. Full lotus posture makes it easy to enter samadhi. Full lotus posture is another name for the vajra posture just described. By placing our left foot on top of our right thigh and then placing our right foot on our left thigh, we achieve full lotus posture. The left foot belongs to yang, while the right foot belongs to yin. When assuming this meditation posture, the left foot, which is yang, is placed first so that it is under, while the right foot, which is yin, is placed second on top. This balance of yin and yang could be seen in the Taiji symbol, which depicts the absolute from which come primal beginning, and then from primal beginning, the two primary forces of yin and yang are shown symbolically as intertwined fish. For those who prefer, it is acceptable to put the left foot below and the right foot on top. The Dharma is not fixed and can be adapted according to a person's preference. It is not necessary to attach rigidly to the particulars of sitting posture. I am teaching the classic method where the left foot goes on the right thigh and the right foot goes on the left thigh. It is not a fixed rule that you have to sit in this position. In conclusion, lotus posture facilitates entry into samadhi. It makes it much easier to do so. If we could enter samadhi while walking, it would not be necessary to sit. The state of samadhi is devoid of false thoughts. When the mind does not entertain a single thought, then it will not be defiled by even a single speck of dust. When our mind entertains no thoughts and is not defiled by even a speck of dust, then we can continue to develop our skill while walking, standing, sitting, and reclining. At that point, we will not be limited to the sitting posture alone. Once your legs no longer ache, you have really begun investigating Chan. When you first learn how to sit in full lotus posture, if your legs feel stiff and painful, you may sit in a more comfortable manner. Thereafter, you should learn to sit in half lotus posture. Then, when your legs do not feel so painful, you can then learn to sit in full lotus posture. When your legs no longer ache, you have really begun investigating Chan. That marks the actual beginning. Basically, Chan investigation is intentionally looking for something to do when one has nothing to do. For instance, a cultivator who has eaten his fill, slept enough, is warmly clothed, and has nothing else to do, will then investigate Chan. Getting good at it, we can then roam and play in the world. Sit straight without leaning. The basic posture of sitting meditation requires us to hold our body upright. We must sit straight and not allow ourselves to lean this way or that. However, you should not force yourself. It must come naturally. Turn the tip of your tongue back and let it touch the roof of your mouth. Then swallow your saliva. When it flows into your stomach, it can balance your energy and blood. Sweet dew cures many illnesses. When sitting in chan with our tongue rolled back so it touches the roof of our mouth, we may generate a lot of saliva. We should swallow it. That saliva is called sweet dew. Why? After we practice chan sitting for an extended period of time, our saliva becomes sweet. Although it may not be as sweet and thick as sugar or honey, it still has a faint sweetness. When we regularly swallow that sweet dew, we will not feel hungry or thirsty, even without food or drink. When a person's practice reaches the stage where he is not aware of walking, standing, sitting, or reclining, his skill merges with every movement and he is in samadhi in every instant. This is described as the naga remains in stillness always. There is never a moment of non-stillness. The sweet dew we swallow can cure numerous illnesses, strengthen us physically, and help us open our wisdom. But we must practice diligently without interruption. Why is it that cultivators do not wish to talk much? They need to concentrate on their practice. No matter what they are doing, be it gathering firewood, fetching water, welcoming guests and seeing them off, or traveling about, they are always practicing hard. When our skill reaches maturity, then even without any volitional effort, we will still continue to practice hard. Even without volitional effort, we will be investigating who is mindful of the Buddha. When we investigate to the point that we are not moved by wind or rain, our skill will become such that the wind and rain cannot encroach upon us. Of course, this sort of skill is not accomplished overnight. That is why at all times we have to be mindful of the present. Sweet dew is also referred to as our own drink and is recognized as a medicine. It is an elixir that enhances longevity. It is a medicine that brings liberation from birth and death. It is a tonic for escaping the cycle of rebirth in the six realms of existence. Everyone has this medicine, but most refuse to take it. Most people ignore the root and are attracted by branch tips. In other words, they search high and low outside. This sweet dew tonic originates from our self-nature. If we constantly apply effort in our practice, our saliva becomes sweet, even sweeter than honey. When that medicine takes effect, the body will undergo changes internally. Those who have not experienced this benefit in cultivation do not know what I'm talking about. Those who have experienced it will be ever diligent. They will not put off cultivation or take breaks. We must be persistent in upholding this practice and constantly guard it. We should not be erratic in our practice so that we fish for 3 days and then dry the net for two. Heat something for 1 day and then let it get cold for 10. Pluck a lotus blossom today and then pick a peony tomorrow. We need firm sincerity and honest determination. We must constantly practice hard in order to progress on the path. To progress one day and then retreat the next is a waste of time. Eyes contemplate nose, nose contemplates mouth, mouth contemplates heart. When sitting in meditation, sit up straight and erect. Don't lean backwards or forwards and don't lower your head. Keep the head upright. The eyes should look at the nose to see if the nostrils are pointing upwards or downwards. Pay close attention to it. The nose should watch the mouth. But you wonder, does the nose have eyes? By focusing on the mouth, the nose will gradually develop eyes. The more you focus the nose on the mouth, the sooner the nose will actually see the mouth. The nose contemplates the mouth, and the mouth inquires of the heart. Inquire into whether your own heart is black or white or yellow or red. What kind of heart is it? Go ahead and inquire into that. If you discover that it is black, then you have to turn the black heart into a white one. When you see your black heart turning white day by day until it becomes a treasury of brilliant light that integrates with the Dharma realm, then you can know you are gaining a little skill. Do not breathe through your mouth. Breathe through your nose. Sometimes the nasal passages are blocked, which makes breathing through the nose difficult. However, if you can breathe through your nose, when you inhale, bring the breath down to just behind the navel, not below it. That place is empty and is without anything. In fact, from the beginning, there has never been anything there. That place is where your breath has to stop. Sometimes people who practice will ask, "Do you know how to catch your breath?" That is a very important question. If you can catch your breath, then your external breathing becomes an internal breathing. That internal breathing replaces the external breathing. This is why a practitioner with sufficient skill does not breathe externally. The external breathing has stopped, but the internal breathing functions. With internal breathing, there is no exhalation through the nose or mouth, but all the pores on the body are breathing. A person who is breathing internally appears to be dead, but actually he has not died. He does not breathe externally, but the internal breath comes alive. At that time, when your eyes see forms inside, there is nothing, because all forms have been emptied. The ears hear sounds, but the mind does not know. When you contemplate your mind, the mind is also empty. Looking out for forms, forms vanish. Looking afar at objects, they too become empty. But at this point, you should not think that you are great. You have merely activated an initial expedient and are experiencing the state of lightness and ease. Do not mistake a thief for your own son. Do not mistake where you are in your practice, thinking that you are already very great. Heat, summit, patience, first in the world. When sitting in meditation, the tongue touches the roof of the mouth. This is the point where the two channels of run and do connect. When these two channels are clear, then the circulation of energy and blood is also clear, and one feels at ease. When there is saliva in the mouth, swallow it into the stomach. Doing this frequently is just like using sweet dew to water and nourish a young Bodhi sprout. After sitting for some time, a warm energy fills the body, and it may become very hot. At this stage, certain changes begin to occur. 1. Heat is the first stage. This warmth originates at the cinnabar, the point just behind the navel, spreads to the whole body, and then circulates back to the cinnabar. This warm energy circulates like that again and again during the stage of heat. 2. Summit is the second stage. When you have experienced the warmth for some time, during which your body's chemical plant has done the necessary experiments, you will then reach the summit. At the summit, you feel as if there is something at the top of your head, yet there appears to be nothing there. If you say there is something, you cannot see it or touch it. You only experience this feeling at the top of your head, and you will invariably feel it is indescribable. 3. Patience is the third stage. After the summit stage, you begin to experience an unbearable feeling. No matter how unbearable this feeling is, you have to endure it. This is known as the stage of patience. After the summit stage comes the stage of patience. It is very difficult to pass the stage of patience because of the discomfort associated with the top of your head. It seems as if there is something trying to drill a hole through to the outside. At this point, you have to be very patient. As time goes by, the drill penetrates through and emerges from the top of your head, just like a little bird that has been set free from its cage. And, like a freed bird, you will feel exceptionally happy. 4. First in the world is the fourth stage. Getting free is called being foremost in the world. This can refer to having the world's foremost patience. It also is known as being the world's number one great personage or the world's number one great hero. As you are peerless, you are called number one in the world. Even when you have become number one in the world, you will still have to be very careful and continue to cultivate every day. Subduing guest dust afflictions is like letting muddy water settle. When we sit in Chan, we have to cleanse our mind and reduce our desires. This is the first step in cultivation. Cleansing the mind refers to subduing afflictions, which are transient, like a guest who does not stay, like particles of dust that fly about. Our turbid afflictions make us like a jar of muddy water. If we keep shaking the jar, the water will remain murky, and we will not be able to see the bottom of the jar clearly. But if, after we pour the muddy water into the jar, we do not disturb the jar, then the mud and silt will settle to the bottom. This is the first step in subduing guest dust afflictions. Sitting properly in meditation for even one kshana, one moment, generates more merit than building as many pagodas of the seven jewels as there are sand grains in the Ganges River would. That is because by sitting in meditation, we can subdue our guest dust afflictions and allow the silt of the five desires to settle down. A clear mind is as a still pool that can reflect the moon. A calm will is as a bright sky without a trace of clouds. Investigating Chan while walking, standing, sitting, and reclining. Chan sitting cannot be considered fun. It involves enduring a lot of hardship. We begin our first sit at 3 o'clock in the morning, and we continue sitting and walking right up to 12 o'clock midnight. Our rest period at night is only 3 hours long. In the afternoon, there is also a one-hour optional rest period. During Chan investigation, we have to forget about the body, the mind, the world, and everything else. Even the self must no longer exist. Everything becomes empty. When we reach the state of true emptiness, wonderful existence will appear. Everybody must pay attention to this. During cultivation, do not talk unnecessarily. False thoughts. Take care not to be lazy or stop to rest. We should treasure every minute and every second. As it is said, a moment past is a moment less of life. Therefore, we have to investigate Chan while walking, standing, sitting, and reclining. Cultivating Chan at all times, we have to constantly pay attention to our investigation. The more we investigate, the more transparent and bright we become. Concentrate. Persevere. When we investigate Chan, we should not fear backaches and pain in our legs. We must draw on our Vajra will and use patience and perseverance to investigate Chan. We must constantly persevere and be firm and uncompromising in our resolve. In every moment, we must practice hard. In the past, virtuous elders in the monastic Sangha having practiced sitting meditation for many years, continued to sit. This shows that cultivation is not so simple and easy. We must endure. We cannot pluck a lotus blossom today and pick a peony tomorrow. We should not think that by sitting for a day, we can become enlightened. We need to understand the importance of patience when practicing chan sitting. How do we concentrate? Well, imagine the intensity with which a young girl pursues a boy she likes, or how a boy chases a girl. That is how concentrated we should be in meditation. If we can be that determined and intent on our investigation of chan, so that we are ever mindful of the present, then there is no reason why we cannot succeed.